welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you're with me today. Whether you bumped up against me here or by accident, as it were, there are no accidents, really, there aren't, or whether or not you chose to be with me, I'm very, very grateful. What we try to do here on Aspire is offer to you some different points of view, maybe some insight into subjects that are very important, subjects that you have written in. You are the ones that make this program possible, not only through your donations, but you're the ones that make the questions happen. And you can always reach me at greg@aspire.org. And ask any question you like. And if it's something that I think would serve people or help you in some way, I'm certainly going to use it. And I'll let you know. I will email you and tell you, look, this is when the program will air and you can take a look at it. You can come to the website at aspire.org and listen to all the past radio programs for umpteen many years. They're all there, and if you want to listen to them on various subjects, they are all there for you. I want to remind you, of course, that this radio program, our TV programs, everything I do is there because of your tax-deductible gifts. It is only through your kind and loving support that Aspire is allowed to continue to be on the air as it is. Our TV programs, everything we do that is important is on our website at aspire.org. So go take a look, see what you think, and let's go from there. And maybe you would like to be a sponsor, I hope so. If so, when you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see a little button there in the middle of the page that says support. Yes, that four-letter word. And just click on it. A drop-down menu will come. And you will see why support Aspire, and that will tell you everything you need to know about Aspire and why it is important, how it works, and how you can sign up, and the beautiful gifts you get for being a sponsor. And you do get some lovely gifts. You really do, each and every month, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, which always appeals to me. Because that means that if you have one of those sleepless nights, whatever, that you can, enjoy the program. And that means a great deal to me that it's there for you when my physicalness can't be there. We're going to talk about the soul today because I get questions about it from time to time. Things I've said not only on TV but on my radio program here. I wanted to define the word soul first before we get started here. The spiritual or immaterial part of a human being or animal regarded as immortal. A person's mortal or emotional nature or sense of identity. Emotional or intellectual energy or intensity, especially as revealed in a work of art or an artistic performance. Okay? None of those definitions do it for me. Not one single one. That's why we don't understand the soul. And, well, let's get into it. The first one comes from Lori, and she does not tell me where she lives. I listen to you a great deal. I find you interesting. You talk about the soul very casually. Do we all have a soul, Lori? Lori, I'm not casual about the soul. I'm really not. And it took me a great many years to become aware of the soul and what it really is all about. You and I and everyone in this world has potential to the soul. We have a great potential to reach the soul. Whether or not we achieve that, whether or not we get to that potential, is another story indeed. It's totally up to us. The soul is not something like an appendage to your body. It is not something that is like your arms or your legs. It has nothing to do with any of that. And this definition I've just read to you, Lori, has nothing to do with the soul at all, not even remotely. It is spiritual. It is immaterial part of us, but it is not an integral part of the human being. It is immortal in a way, forever lasting, but it isn't immortal like you just inherit it and this is who you are. People miss the meaning of their soul. The soul is you in regard to the succession of life that is love. There is an entire life, Lori, that is bigger, grander, more beautiful than anything you and I could ever imagine, and it all lives within us. Jesus referred to it as the kingdom of heaven. A Buddha talked about it as the state of nirvana. But whatever you call it, whatever it is, there is no possible way for me or for you to understand what this soul is from our human point of view. It can't be understood. Now, that is the difficulty. It can't be understood. So when a human mind asks a question, do we all have souls? The answer would be, we all have the potential to achieve the awareness of the soul. But do we all have souls just the way we are? Well, yes and no. The way Greg is, this Greg, no, absolutely not. He's full of mischief and flaws and stupidity and arrogance. He's full of misunderstandings. He has a predicated idea as to how things work, the way things will work. He is worried. He is susceptible to stupidity, his own and other people's. He just doesn't get it. I have to transcend him. If I don't transcend him, if I don't rise above him, if I don't get intricately involved in the practice of the quality of my spirit, then nothing I do is of any real value at all. And everything I do, I miss. I miss the opportunity of what it is to feel that presence of love in me. The soul is the personification of love within us. It is the total personification of love. It is the merging of beingness into oneness. It does not happen because I say it happens or it could happen or whatever. It is none of those things at all. It occurs as I move more deeply into it through meditation, through separation from my emotionality, the total opposite of this definition, the total opposite of it. So, if you start to think about it, you will lose the soul. If you live in the soul in a way that is beyond the idea of passion and reason and logic and unbridled emotionality, then you start to understand the nature of it. But now listen to me here. It's very important you understand this. There is no way I will ever be able to spot the soul from my intellect, from living in my body. There is just no way. it doesn't belong to any realm in this humanness that we are in. It doesn't belong here at all in any way, shape, or form. In no way. And there's no such thing as the soul ever being destroyed or having a soulmate or whatever romantic thing people have come up with. Something to sell books or make you sentimental. It doesn't work that way, not even remotely. So you and I are living in this world to transcend the body, to reach the soul, to become once again united in the oneness of the whole, which is only done by achieving the soul. Lori, I hope that helps you in some way or another. I have other questions that might help clarify all of this in the radio program, so hang in there with me, eh? Please forgive me and thank you for your beautiful question. Namaste. The next question from Tim in Los Angeles. Why do you say we do not have souls? Tim, we are not available. Just think about it. We're not available for anything that is authentically loving. To understand the soul is impossible through the human mentality. So there's the first issue. The second issue is, in the Beatitudes that Jesus taught, he taught everything that was important about how to achieve the soul. Blessed are the pure in heart, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Things like that. These are very important teachings that most people just poo-poo. They don't get them. They don't want to get them. They don't think there's any reason to get them. But there they are, and they're extremely important. You and I live a soulless life. You don't check in with your soul. Most of us don't. When we do anything, what are you? If I were to say, Tim, tell me who you are. What are you? What would you say you are? You're a Tim. You come from the genetic nature of a long line of people, legions of people who were Tims in other forms, in other bodies. You're related to all sorts of people through your genetics, and then you have your DNA. And think of what your DNA is doing. Even as I speak here, slaughtering the message I'm giving to you and slaughtering it through your genetics that say, well, I don't believe that. I can't believe that. That doesn't sound right. Blah, 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 blah. Just think of all that stuff you're doing even as I make this radio program for you. You're slaughtering it. Your mind is going, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes. Your mind is always looking for a final verdict, a final confrontation, a conclusion to everything. So you have concluded maybe that you understand that we do have a soul. You think you're convinced of that. Maybe you're convinced that we don't have a soul, and you're convinced of that. All of these things determine whether or not you have what I call the awareness, the presence of an awareness. An awareness that goes beyond your mental confines, your mental prowess. Your mental acumen. So, as long as this is going on within us, and it is within all of us, we suffer the consequences of our life. We don't have a soul. We have an ego. We have hubris, and we would rather have the ego and the hubris than we would a soul. To have a soul, you would have to follow the Beatitudes, the Eightfold Path of the Buddha. You would have to be deeply, deeply devoted to mercy. The achievement of mercy is the essence of it all. To achieve great mercy is to come to the place where the soul exists. To come to the heart, blessed are the pure in heart, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That brings you to the very, well, humility factor, brings me to my knees, where I feel something that is beyond the confines of Gregory's emotionality, Gregory's fears, Gregory's worries, Gregory's turmoil, where you go beyond the humanness of it all. To reach the divine, to reach the divinity of the divine, is a very important thing for all of us. This is why we meditate and work upon ourselves, that we might have that in our life. In all of your achievements, Tim, probably in everything you've done, the achievements of your life, where is the mercy? Where is the pure in heart in you? If you look at those two qualities, just those two, and I use them as purely an example here, but they are essential to understanding the nature that provides us with a direct experience of the soul, you will have the soul. You understand the nature of the soul. We don't have souls yet. We have a lifetime to reach the soul. We have life experiences that would allow us to reach the soul, reach the essence of ourselves as a spiritual being. And I use these clumsy, silly words like reach yourselves. That's absolutely erroneous what I just said, but it's the only language we have, a language where I can meet with you in. When you are no longer interested in your survival as the pedigree for your whole entire life, that is when you will start to enter into the immortal, the real immortal. This is a form you and I are in. This is not the life. We think our bodies are our life. Our body is the instrument we use to create what we call a lifetime. We build our body and we build everything around our body. We want nothing but pleasantries. We want nothing but pleasure. We want nothing but those things that enhance our comfort and our so-called security. So we live in this religiosity of ourselves, as it is called, and we come up with ideas that the soul is a part of human beings, an animal regarded as immortal. A person's mortal and emotional nature or sense of identity. No, we don't get that. We don't live like that. We live in reckless manners, in spiritual mischief. We live to eat, drink, and be merry. We don't live to transcend, to transcend our ego, our vanity, our pride. We just don't do it. And that is the sad part of it all. So, in all of this, in the development of our awareness through meditation, we come to a place where we either achieve soulfulness and the things that make it possible, or we don't. So here's how it works. If you meditate, you will start to realize that there are certain behaviors and attitudes and beliefs that have to be relinquished in order to come to a place where your soul can be realized, where you can come to a place where there is what we call realization, not self-realization, because there really isn't a self. There's only the realization. And once you begin to truly realize the nature of your heart, the nature of your being, the nature of your compassion and love, when you start to realize that you are here in a body, but you are not the body itself, that is when something extraordinary may happen to you. Something so extraordinary that you will see things in an entirely different light than you ever have before. The soul is revealed through a series of spiritual events within us that occur only as we become so deeply humble that the only thing that matters is the state of our oneness with love in the humility of our spiritual heart. It is only through humility that the soul is revealed. It is a very difficult thing for most people to consider because they just aren't much interested in anything other than their desire, their ambition, and their pride. That's why I say we don't have a soul yet. The soul is something that is not earned, but realized in the background. And I must go through many silly things in my lifetime until I reach it and go, oh, there, oh, oh. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question from Larry. He does not tell me where he lives. To hear the call of the soul and to follow it. Greg, is this possible, Larry? Oh, yes, Larry. To feel the call of the soul beckoning you to live a life that is in total opposition to the livingness we do, where we live an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, where we live in the body and from the body and for the body. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, you can hear that call. And I believe that everyone has access to that call, but very few follow it. Very few recognize it. For most people, it has to do with emotionality. It has to do with logic and reasoning. We're only as good as our mental state, our mental prowess, if we have any. And if you're a smart person, that kind of makes it even more difficult. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who are not haughty, those who do not live in arrogance. The poor in spirit is the person who is humble. And when we are humble, that is when everything starts to click inside of us for the sake of the goodness of our being. Our mental acuity is based in the whole idea of our intellect and how we can fathom life from the point of view of reason and logic. But in spirituality, in the depth of authentic spirituality, this is not the case at all. The mind is not used at all like that. A new mind is cultivated, a mind that is no longer seeking what is good and bad, right and wrong, a mind that is not distracted by thought, a mind that is able to reflect impressions that come from beyond the realm of the mind's thinking, logic, and reasoning. And that kind of person, that kind of thinking is very rare in human beings. We cultivate that only through the practice of meditation and entering into an authentic spiritual practice where emotionality does not rule and where the idea of emotional comfort and security is not what it's all about. It's all about, yes, love. I hope that helped you. I really do. I've got to run, Terry. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. I hope you enjoyed this program. Send me an email. Let me know if you have any questions. I'd be honored to answer it. Have a beautiful weekend. Once again, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.